All right, good evening. It's good to see everybody this evening. Welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. We'll go ahead and get started. Go and find your seats and get situated and pull out your hymnals. We'll open to our first song for the evening. It'll be song number 56. It'll be song number 56, When We All Get to Heaven. Song number 56. Find your place there. Song number 56. Start there on the first.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory, while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
They're on the last.
Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Brother Jeff, you want to pray for us this evening? Amen. All right. So go ahead and flip in your hymnals to song number 364. Song number 364, Standing on the Promises. Song number 364, Standing on the Promises. And we're going to sing this one a cappella, nice and loud. Standing on the Promises. And we'll start there on the first.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt or fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him, eternal, holy love, strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Good singing. So at this time, we'll go ahead and go over the announcements for the evening. So go ahead and pull out your bulletins. If you didn't have a bulletin, just raise your hand. We'll have Brother Jeff bring one around to you. And on the front page, we do have our Bible memory verse and chapter. We are in Romans chapter number 8. We're cruising right along, one verse per week. We are in verse number 27. So we're kind of getting to that latter, half of the chapter. So definitely keep working on that. If you quote the entire chapter, word perfect, to a non-family member, you will receive a prize. If you open up the bulletin on the top left, we have our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 5:30 p.m., and our midweek Bible study on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. We have our soul winning times listed underneath that with the respective leaders, and we have our stats listed. We have 468 salvations to date. We had 3 to add this morning. And we went out today, and we could also add another 3, 4, 5, 6 more. Amen. So we were in a very receptive apartment complex this afternoon. There's a blessing. A lot of people got saved, so good job soul winning. They're on the next page. We do have an expecting lady in the church. We have Miss Sarah Gomez. So just be in prayer for her and the little baby, that everything goes well. Some upcoming guest preachers. Today we have Brother Chris Segura. From Faithful Word Baptist Church, back with us. So he's going to be leaving here pretty quick, right after he's done preaching. So if you haven't said thank you, definitely say thank you to him for coming out. It's a blessing having him come preach for us. September 26th, we have Pastor Jonathan Shelley preaching for us. October 3rd, we have Pastor Aaron Thompson from Sure Foundations Baptist Church. So definitely a blessing having him come out as well. Some upcoming events, just right around the corner, we do have our anniversary, Pure Words Baptist Church anniversary. That's September 25th, which is a Saturday. We're going to be having a soul-winning marathon. We're going to be meeting here at the church at 9 a.m. Breakfast will be provided. We'll be going out for a round of soul-winning, meeting back here for lunch, and then we're going to be going out for another round of soul-winning. After that second round of soul-winning, we're going to be meeting back here, and we're going to have our annual false Bible burning. Okay, so definitely that'll be a good time, burning all those false Bibles. Plus, we're going to have a separate fire for hot dogs and s'mores. Okay, so definitely a good time there. October 6th through the 10th is the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship, Steadfast Baptist Church. Sunday, October 31st, which is Halloween, we're going to be doing the chili cook-off. All right, so that's going to be after that evening service. We're going to be entering all the Texas-style beans-free chili for the contest. So it should be a good time there. Tuesday, November 23rd, which is the Thanksgiving service. All right, that's going to be the midweek service, is on Tuesday. So we're going to be switching it from Thursday to Tuesday. But that'll be the Thanksgiving service. And Thursday, the midweek service in December, will be on the 23rd. That'll be the Christmas candlelight service. So we have a lot of upcoming events. Just note those down. Lastly, Pure Words Baptist church is a family integrated church, all right? So we believe that the kids should always stay with their family, with the parents, that we believe that's where they're going to be the safest. So with that being said, the parents need to be watching their kids, right? If the kids make a mess or they eat something and cause a big mess, parents, you should be with your kids and noticing that and picking up after them, all right? So we are a family integrated church. We have a mother baby room in the back. And if you notice your kids making a big mess, just, you know, pick up after them. That's what we do, right? So with that, lastly, if you have any prayer requests, just email those into the church at purewordsbaptist@gmail.com. And we could be in prayer for anything that you might have going on. I do want to throw out there, just be in prayer for Brother Cameron Hall. He's not here with us this evening. He's having some issues with his leg, so just be in prayer for him. But with that, go ahead and pull your hymnals back out. We'll have Brother Mo come and lead us in our third song. All right, turn in your hymnals to song number 82. Song number 82, When He Cometh. We'll start out there on the first. When He cometh, when He cometh, to make up His jewels, all His jewels, precious jewels, His loved and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for His crown. He will gather, He will gather the gems for His kingdom, all the pure ones, all the bright ones, His loved and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for His crown. Little children, who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, His loved and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for His crown. All right, now if you would turn your Bibles to what chapter is it? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll have Brother Brandon read for us. All right, well, we're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and the Bible reads, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might have taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, for with such an one not to eat. For what have I do to you? Judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Put them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." Let's have a quick word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everyone here, Lord. We just pray that you bless everyone here, Lord. We just pray that you once again fill Brother Chris Aguirre with your Holy Spirit. We just pray that you bless this service and help us to minimize distractions and bless the time. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. You have your Bibles right there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. I ended up forgetting my Bible. I locked it in my suitcase, but all things work together for good because this is a really good Bible you guys are giving away. This is awesome. It's like, man, look at all those titles right there. You can make sermons forever and ever and ever. So I'm like, okay, well, now I don't want to mess it up, but I'm taking it with me. Amen. I love this thing. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, it starts off by saying, it's reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Fornication, that's going to bed with someone when you're not married. Amen? Amen. And such fornication as is not much as named among the Gentiles, the one shall have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up. What is puffed up? Full of pride, thinking you're better than you really are, and have not rather mourned. He's saying, look, you guys are seeing this sin. This is Paul talking about fornication in the church of Corinth. Is that you guys have big sin. But why are they puffed up? And why are they not mourning? We'll get to that. And it says, have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. Well, one of the reasons why they're not mourning when they see this sin, and they're super puffed up, you don't have to go there, you stay right there in 1 Corinthians 5. You know, I'm going to read from Hebrews, it says this, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren. This is the problem with the Corinthians. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And that's their problem. Why don't they mourn? Because their heart is hardened through the deceitfulness of fornication and the other sins that they're committing. You know, but you will talk to the average person today and they're like, fornication, really? What's the big deal? You know, it's like, hey, if they love one another, what's the big deal? You know, it's like, hey, leave them alone. They're not hurting no one. It's funny how they make laws and Biden goes crazy over guns. He wants to ban all these AR-15 type rifles and even wants to ban, you know, weapons that he considers to be dangerous that we shouldn't have in our possession or whatever. And they're going nuts and fighting over it. But they have full access. They get full access and they are upset. They're like 21 years old. No, we don't want to lower the age. You know, some states you can buy a gun at 18, others at 21 and over. California, barely, don't even try it in California. It's very hard to get a gun in California. But these Democrats, they're making a big stink about how we can't let kids, you know, have access to weapons. You know, look what happened in Columbine. Who knows what I'm talking about when it comes to Columbine. You know, those teenagers, 17 or 18-year-olds, shot up the place, had, I think they were like Tech 9 weapons or whatever they had. But they go crazy over guns. And they're like, we need to be strict. We need better laws and this and that and whatever. Even though they have the strictest laws in Chicago, and they're killing people with record numbers. And they're like, no, we got to make sure that kids don't get their hands on guns. But they give 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds full access to abortion clinics. Full access to abortion clinics. Where supposedly, according to their numbers, the government numbers, over 3,000 abortions every single day. Well, let me ask you this. What if 96,000 Americans were killed by guns last year? Wouldn't it be a big deal? What if it was just Chicago, 95,000 murdered by guns? Wouldn't they be like, whoa, we need to ban weapons? You know, people would be all crazy about it. Well, guess what? 3,000 a day is 1,095,000 aborted every single year. And I don't think the married, you know, majority are the ones doing it. Maybe there are married couples out there that just don't want to have a kid and the wife goes to the abortion clinic. But let's just be honest. The majority of the people that are committing this sin of abortion are fornicators. That's just a fact. They're fornicators. You know, they have all the protection they need, but it only protects for so long. You know, people think, well, what's the big deal? Hey, bastard children, they'll tell you it's a big deal. They don't like it when they're just all by themselves with no dad. I mean, my parents got divorced, and I hated it.
I hated seeing my dad with somebody else. I hated seeing my mom with somebody else. It just disgusted me. But it was what it was, you know. But more than likely, when people are like saying, hey, fornication was a big deal, they're not really stopping to think about it. Yes, the abortion, you know, but think about all the children that are being born and their fathers are not around, and they end up being basically ate up by the devil. I'm sure some of you guys have heard of NWA, right? Their front guy, Eazy-E, you know, the guy that died of AIDS and whatever the case, people have different conspiracies about that. But he had a bunch of children, bastard children, with a bunch of different females. I wonder how their kids are doing today. I wonder if they're doing good or if they're just falling into the same sins as their fathers and just causing the world to become a worse and worse place. Hey, it is what it is. Righteousness exalteth the nation. That's what we preach against these things. But fornication is not a big deal to people. And look, I was brainwashed about this subject. I didn't think it was a big one. I thought it was just a little sin. I didn't realize that it was a big sin. And that's the title of my sermon, Little Big Sins. Little Big Sins. So we know that there are some things that, yeah, they start out little, but they can blow up really fast. You're still right there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. I mean, this is the punishment that Paul is saying they should give to this guy who's fornicating the church of Corinth. He says in verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Well, that's not very nice. He said, come on, that's pretty mean. You know, why don't we just keep him in the church and work with the guy and try to show him some scriptures? It's like, no, he needs to go. Why? Well, if you keep reading, we'll find out why. But the main thing that Paul is saying is like, hey, he needs to go. We need to deliver him unto Satan. Yes, for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He says, look, this guy, he needs to get right with God. Hey, if it takes him getting destroyed, that's what Jesus taught. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Did he not say that? And Paul's just teaching the same thing. He's like, some people, hey, even if they claim, you know, I believe in the Lord, if you're committing this quote-unquote little sin, you got to go because it's going to spread. We let you in, it's going to spread. Why do we preach against it? Because we don't want it to even spread, even begin. And I remember my old church, I barely heard our pastors, you know, preach against fornication. Barely at my old church in California. Well, there are a lot of people committing fornication. Open fornication. We knew that couple's not married. They're living together. And you would think, is it just our church? Come to find out, talking to other people, it happens in a lot of old IFB churches. They literally have couples that are not married. Everybody knows about it. They're having parties at their house. They're having get-togethers at their house. And everybody knows they've been together for years, coming to the church for 8 years, and they're still not married, committing fornication. And then other people are committing fornication. You're about such and such getting pregnant, committing fornication. Doesn't want to get married for whatever reason. But at our church, if it's happening, we don't know anything about it. But in my old church, we knew about it. Because to them, it's like, well, you know, it's a little sin. They love each other, whatever the case may be. But no, this is a little sin that become very big. And it can cause someone to not understand what the scriptures say because the pastor's not preaching against it hard. And they could be the ones that end up going to the abortion clinic and being one of many that are causing 3,000 unborn children to lose their lives every single day. Over a million. But let's just keep reading. It says in verse number 6, you're glorying, saying, hey, you guys are arrogant. It's not good. Know ye not that a little leaven, and that's where I get the title. Know ye not that a little leaven, obviously he's referring to sin, leaveneth the whole lump. And that's how it all starts. Something little can just blow up. Because that's what leaven is. It's what they use to make bread just blow up. Be all puffy and blown up. So it says a little bit can cause it to just blow up. Next thing you know, you got a big problem. And God forbid, because the preachers aren't doing their job, that one of these children, they get into fornication and do go to the clinic. We're trying to prevent that. But the world is like, oh, nope, they're just hateful. You know, they don't love people. Why? Because of what we read in Hebrews. Because of the deceitfulness of sin, their heart is hardened to this type of preaching. They get sick of hearing it. They don't want to hear it anymore. I'm like, man, this church, all you guys talk about is this and that and whatever. It's like, look, because we're trying to make sure it doesn't spread. It does. And I'm not saying there's a problem, but you just never know. You just never know. And it's not just fornication I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about other things that people say are little. But when you really stop and look at the scriptures, you're like, hey, it starts out little, but it blows up big. It blows up big, and it will destroy lives. So right there we see that he says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And what is their problem? Verse number 8, keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice. What is malice? That's just ill will, meaning you want to commit sin. Wickedness is evil, it's sin. I get that. But malice is a little bit worse because that's your ill intent. You want to go out there and commit sin. And it's saying, look, you guys are committing malice. You guys have wickedness in your church. But with the leaven of bread and sincerity and truth, it's like, hey, this is how you're going to purge this leaven out. By being sincere, by preaching the truth, by being the real deal. Because when people hear you preaching the truth, but you're not the real deal, that's not going to help them. They're going to say to themselves, hey, that guy, he's a joke. He can preach it all day long, but we know this dude. He ain't sincere. That preacher, that soul winner, that whoever. People always wonder, why don't my kids listen to me? Because they know you're not sincere. That's just the fact. When they see you grow, then they'll start growing themselves. It's like Pastor Anderson gave an example one time. He would tell his kids, hey, play the piano. Get on that piano. Okay, okay. And they wouldn't really do it. They wouldn't really listen to him. He's out working, comes back. Been practicing your piano, kids? And then he started getting the piano. He started practicing an hour a day. He started getting better at it. Well, without having to say anything, guess what his kids were doing? Dad, you almost done? I want piano time. You know? And so sure enough, that's what ended up happening. They started practicing their piano because their dad got serious about it. They saw that is serious. That made them want to get serious. That motivated them. Amen? But the other sins you see in Corinthians, covetousness, wanting things that are not for you. I could say wanting things that don't belong to you, but in reality, I don't know if that definition is the best definition, wanting things that don't belong to you. Because in reality, there are some things that are maybe not for you yet, but if you pray for them, I don't think it's covetousness. Like, for example, wanting a wife. You know, you could pray like, Lord, I really want a wife. Are you really being covetous? Probably not. I'm thinking you're probably just trying to increase your chances of making it happen because you're involving the Lord. But when I say things that are not for you, meaning it's not God's will for you, i.e. to be a multimillionaire preacher, that's when you know you're covetous, when you're being covetous, when you want what Benny Hinn has. You know, that private jet, you know, those white, you know, alligator shoes. It's like, bro, quit coveting this man. You know, it's like when you desire things, because coveting, now don't get me wrong, I don't think it's always sinful. Why? Because Paul says covet the best gifts. You know, he says, hey, covet the best gifts. Covet, you know, he says, I covet your prayers. You know, it's like, covet the best gifts. And what are the best gifts? You know, love. He says, hey, out of all these, prophesying, the best one is love. You know, because even if you give your body to be burned, if you don't have love, hey, it says that you labor or you do it in vain. You know, doesn't help anything. You know, but we see that we have people here that are covetous. He's warning them against extortioners. Man, I've never heard of any extortioner, but these are pretty bad people. These are people that are trying to get something out of you, usually money. They want to get something out of you because they know something about you. And how wicked is that to say, hey, I know about you. And if you don't give me money, I mean, how? Just the thought of that makes me say, whoa, these people are just evil. To say, hey, I'm going to reveal what I know about you. If you don't give me X, Y, and Z, usually it's money. That's crazy to think that would even ever happen in church. But it wouldn't be here if it wasn't possible. Why would God put it in there if it will never happen? No, I'm pretty sure it does happen. It has happened, and it will happen. But it's talking about extortioners, idolaters, you know, people that worship idols. Obviously, fornication is there again. Covetous, idolaters, you know, I'm in verse 11. And when you see verse 13, he says, therefore, put away from among yourselves. Hey, Paul calls it like it is, that wicked person. What's a fornicator? A wicked person. What's an extortioner? A wicked person. You know, somebody who's covetous is a wicked person. You know, he makes no bones about it. They're wicked. Now, if you have your Bible, go to Proverbs 31:1. But people will say, covetous, come on, man. Is it really that bad? You know, wanting a better life. Because that's what they try to make it seem like. Oh, I just want a better life. You know, I want a better life too. But what you're looking at a $10 million mansion. And I'm looking at a $250,000 house, bro. Because that's what TV will do. You know, TV, whatever, movies. I saw this one show one time way back in the day, but it stuck in my mind, and I always think about them when I see this verse on covetousness, because it was a show about people that swapped their wives. Who's ever heard of that show, Wife Swap or something like that? Well, what happened, it was a guy, he swapped his wife with some other dude, you know, but the family, you know, the guy who swapped his wife or whatever, you know, they were very covetous. You know, they had big dreams, and what they did, they went and they got recorded. They, like I said, this is why we need this preaching, because I'm sure if you were to ask them, hey, what's your religion? I'm sure they would say Christianity. But here's what would happen. They had no problem, no problem, cameras, like basically just recording them. And they were middle class. They didn't have a lot of stuff, but their goal was to have a ton of stuff. And they would literally go once a week to these rich neighborhoods, and they would take pictures in front of these houses to motivate them, you know, to work hard and make a ton of money so they can have that one day. That's covetousness right there. That is evil right there. And they're not the only ones. I heard about a guy. I don't know if you guys ever heard this guy. He's on YouTube. He's an old man. He's not as rich as he thinks he is. He calls himself a $50 billion man. His name is Dan Pena. I don't know if you ever heard of him. You'll probably come across him. If you're just on YouTube or whatever, he'll pop up. He'll pop up, and he's basically this guru on business. He's not a guru. He's a fraud. He's a total straight-up fraud. But you know what he's telling his students? He charges students $20,000 to show them how to start their businesses. But his tactics are old school. They don't even work. And this guy claims to be a $50 billion man, and he does have a castle in Scotland. He has a castle in Scotland, but he's so rich, he rents it out for weddings. Come on. What's up with that? Who rents their house? That's his home. Who rents their house for weddings? He's not as rich. And who charges $20,000? Because now he's retired. Now he's a multimillionaire. Now all he gets is joy from helping other people make it financially. You know, make it super rich. And this is what he teaches his students. You need to practice what you want to be. You want to be rich, you need to practice that. You know what I used to do? I used to go to the Bentley dealership. Way before I even could afford a Bentley. And I would just get into Bentleys and pretend I'm driving them and whatever. And I would buy $1,000 suits that I couldn't even afford. I would buy them and wear them because I was practicing what I wanted to be. Well, keep on practicing, buddy, because you're a fraud. You don't have that much money. But that man is covetous, trying to get you to be covetous. But they don't think anything of it because they have cameras. They record themselves teaching this stuff. Go practice being rich. You don't have a Bentley, go drive a Bentley. And take pictures with it and post it on your walls and think about it every single day. But that's not what the Bible tells you to do. You know, if you're right there in Proverbs 31:1, I'm just going to be from Proverbs 21 that says this: wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Leviticus 10:8. You guys just listen up. Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. So what do we see here? We see a verse that's saying, hey, don't drink wine, don't drink strong drink, lest ye, you know, or for you to put a difference between holy and unholy. Deuteronomy 21:19 says this, and it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though walk in imagination on my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. So another little sin that can be a big sin, or in my eyes, a little big sin, is that of alcohol. Now, I'm not going to talk about how many billions of dollars we spent cleaning up that mess on the freeways and how much damage is caused financially to our economy, you know, dealing with alcohol abuse, whatever the case may be, domestic violence, you name it. I'm not going to get into those stats. I'm just going to let the Word of God do its job. We're going to look at it, and then we can kind of get the reality when it comes to alcohol, because unfortunately, there are Christians that go soul winning, they go to church, and they think it's no big deal to get into this. They're like, hey, this ain't a big thing. Well, I don't like seeing Christians drink. Do you guys like seeing Christians drink? I don't. I think it's bad when I see a bottle in a Christian's hand. I think it's horrific, and I think it's dangerous more than anything. It's like, I'm not a drunk. Yeah, but it's still dangerous. You're still gambling. I mean, do you want your kids to drink? Oh, no. You drink in front of your grandchildren? No, I don't. They don't. So they know there's something wrong with it. And I'm thinking, why don't you just give it up? You know, at least start out by saying, hey, I got a problem. I'm an addict. But let's just read a few scriptures. I just read a few. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. But you're right there in Proverbs 31:1. The Bible says this, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Here's a mom talking to his son saying, hey, what's going on? Give not thy strength unto woman, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth. Key word, destroyeth kings. And what is that? It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine. crystal clear. Alcohol can destroy. It can. But Christians these days, so I'm like, but that ain't me. It's like, man, you must have the mercies of David then, if God has not come down on you. But every single person that I've seen that condones it, they're not doing so well. In my personal opinion, physically, they don't look so good. They look older than they really should be, and they try to look younger by coloring their hair, coloring their beard. I'm like, yo, what's up, man? You like the way you look? Yeah, you look older than, yeah, because you've been drinking this whole time, bro. Been drinking for years, man. When are you going to give that up? No, instead they'd rather get the little black coloring mix, put it on their beard, put it on their hair, because it's messing you up. But it says, hey, be careful to commit these sins that destroy kings. And it says right there, strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law. I'm sorry. Verse 4, it is not for kings to lament. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for the princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any. I'm just going to read from Genesis 9. The Bible talks about Noah. It says Noah was a righteous man, and because of his righteousness, he saved his wife and his children and his children's wives. The rest of the world got destroyed. So Noah, living what he was living, in God's eyes, he found favor because he looked down on Noah, and God was going to destroy all of mankind. He was going to just wipe them all off. And then he sees Noah, and Noah found grace in his eyes, and he spared Noah, his children, and his children's wives. And what happens to Noah? He perverts his ways. I'm just going to read Genesis 9:20. If you guys have your Bible, go to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. So we saw the fornication. It's a little leaven that can leaven the whole lump. We saw that covetousness is not something that God wants churches, you know, to be known for. We saw that they were hard-hearted. They were puffed up. They were prideful. And that's the thing that God just does not like. He doesn't like prideful people. He doesn't like arrogant people. But these are little sins that people say, yeah, I understand this dude's full of pride, but it's just a little sin. But it can become a bigger sin. It can become a bigger sin. And these honorable mentions that I'm having right here is stuff that a lot of churches don't talk about. That's why I am talking about alcohol. It's not in Corinthians, but I'm going to talk about it because the Bible talks about it a lot. You know, but just listen to these verses. Let them sink in. Let your heart receive them. Deuteronomy 21:20 says this, and they shall say unto the elders of this city, this our son is a stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey your voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. I wonder how he started down that path. I wonder what it was. A six-pack? You know? A 40-ounce? I wonder how this guy got down that path of not being a drunkard. Maybe one beer. I don't think everybody who starts out drinking starts out with a six-pack, do you? A case of a Bud Light of 24? Like you see them... You know, when I go to the gas station, I feel bad for these people that walk out with these cases. It's like 4 or 5 p.m., and they just got off work because they get up early, and they got these cases, 24 can cases of Bud Light just ready to take off, and they're very unhealthy looking. It's just like something that, like, man, I feel bad for them so bad. You know, but what when they call themselves Christians, it's like, man, what in the world? But, hey, look what it says right here. In Deuteronomy, it says, look, if you have a son, he's stubborn. You know, he says he's a glutton and a drunkard. And it says, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. I wonder if alcohol is that big of a deal to God. He's saying, hey, if you got a son, he don't listen to you. You know, he's a glutton and a drunkard. Think about this. He's literally saying, put that guy to death. And what do we see these days? We see a bunch of young people at the corners. They're young. Stubborn, right? You know, these people are drunkards. In the Old Testament, they put those people to death. And what people are we talking about? Seems like they're talking about lazy bums here. Think about it. It says right here, hey, my son, stubborn, rebellious, will not obey, a glutton and a drunkard. Hey, take him to the men of the city and stone him with stones that he die. Why? Thou shalt put away evil from among you. I don't think they had a homeless problem in Israel back in the day. I think if they're like, hey, son, get your butt to the vineyard, quit that drinking. If they didn't do it, this is what their punishment would be. You know, stone. That's me. Well, the Bible says it's evil. Put it away from among you. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians to be sober. It says simply, for they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober. What's it mean to be sober? It means to be sane, rational. You're not rational when you're drunk. You're irrational. Also, non-intoxicated. You know, but in this verse, it talks about drunken in the night. He says, hey, I don't want that. And people can say, oh, it's just one beer. You know you don't drink just one beer, bro. Quit lying to yourself. You know, you're drinking two, three. I mean, how many does it take to get you drunk? Just one, according to scientists. Just one bottle of Bud Light is enough to start affecting your rationale, your sanity. But you guys are right there in 1 Samuel. You know, so the little sins that are big sins in my eyes, one is alcohol. Another one is arrogance. Arrogance. Look what it says right here. This is Hannah speaking, though. Hannah, if you go to the book of 1 Samuel, she wanted a baby, couldn't have a baby. She was married to a man that was committing polygamy. He was married to another woman, and she made her basically fret. She was upset. She prayed unto the Lord to give her a man child, and she will give him back to the Lord. And then the Lord did answer her prayer, and then she goes back and starts praising the Lord. But this is something interesting that she says. It says in chapter number 2, 1 Samuel, it says, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our rock. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. Arrogancy, is that really that big of a deal to God? I mean, listen to this verse. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And I think that the biggest people guilty of this are like professional fighters. I'm going to knock you out. You know, I got a guy who I witnessed to a long time ago. His name is Tito Ortiz. You ever heard of Tito Ortiz? You know, he got knocked out yesterday. Pretty bad. You know, when I moved to Phoenix, he was doing a blood drive. So I gave him the gospel twice, you know. And so I was interested to see how he's doing. Not doing so well. He was very arrogant before he fought. He was talking about how, like, what? Wait till I fight this guy. You know, he's scared of me. You know, he's scared of my power. You know, this guy wants me to come down. He was like 240 pounds. He wants me to come down to 195 because he knows it's going to make me weak. So he did it. He got down to 200 pounds. And I didn't watch the fight. I just watched the highlights. He got knocked out with one punch, right? One punch. But you should have seen how he was speaking so arrogantly. And I'm sure he's wondering, why can't I have success anymore? Well, maybe because there's a girl witness to you. Who knows? Maybe he's saved and now he can't get away with that. But before, that's how he got big. He got big by having a big mouth. If you know a little bit of Tito Ortiz, he got very popular. He had millions of pay-per-views when he fought at the height of his fame. But his big thing is he had a big mouth. So people will watch him to get either knocked out or knock out other people because he was pretty good at fighting. You know, but, hey, now to him, that's a really bad sin he can't get rid of. Instead of going in humble, like, man, I'm very glad that they gave me an opportunity to fight one more time for $200,000 or whatever. I'm going to do my best. I think I can beat this guy. He's a tough guy. He's a great champion. Instead, it's like, nope, greatest of all time. He's afraid of my power. He's so good, he's afraid of me. Sure enough, they fight. One punch, he's out. First round, less than a minute and a half. So don't be like that, children. Don't talk so arrogantly because the Lord hates it, and it's just going to get you in a lot of trouble. I got to wrap it up. So alcohol, kids, it's a little sin to some people, but it can blow up really big. I'm sure if Noah was preaching to you, he'd be telling you what I'm telling you and say, hey, look what happened to me. Now I'm in the Bible for something that's embarrassing. And people can debate what happened afterwards, but this it seems like, from what you can see, that something physically horrible happened to Noah after he got drunk. Because he was very upset when he came out of his drunkenness. But alcohol is something that people say, hey, that's not a big thing, you know? Hey, it's all right to drink as long as you don't get drunk. That's what you say now. Arrogancy. Those are the same people that say, it's not a big deal to drink. You're arrogant. It's never you. Never you. I'm okay. It's like, man, you're almost like doubling up your sin. By number one, drinking, even though you see all these verses, and it's not one, two, or three, all these verses against alcohol. God's like, this is stupid. Don't do it. It's not wise. If you do it, you're deceived. You're not wise. But people do it, and they want to justify it because they're arrogant. That's why I say, you know what? From alcohol, we're going to arrogance. Little sin, but look what it can do to you. God says, these things do I hate, and they're all an abomination unto him. I'm up to just point one, a proud look. Why would you be proud? Because you're arrogant. And we'll wrap it up with this one, evil speaking. Whatever it's going to be, whether it's boasting, bragging, whether it's backbiting, saying mean things about other people, or whether you're just being a busybody. Let's be careful not to be guilty of evil speaking. What is evil speaking? Saying bad things. Let me just go over a few verses and we'll wrap it up. Listen to this. Leviticus 19:16. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him I will cut off. This is God saying, you slander, I'm going to cut you off. But I didn't say something that bad. Did you slander his name? Yeah. God says, no, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to cut you off. Psalms 101:5. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. What is guile? It's deception. God says, don't slander and don't deceive. Don't be a liar. Don't try to trick people. You know, even if you're on a jury and you could tell the guy is evil and he deserves to be locked up or whatever, you know what? It is what it is. If you're a witness against someone, don't add stuff to it just because you have this personal issue. Hey, don't speak guile. Don't be deceitful. Just tell the truth, and that should be enough to convict somebody who deserves to be put away or even put to death. Psalms 34:13 says this, a false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among brethren. So be careful causing issues among ourselves. God says, I hate that. God says, hey, don't go around causing discord. Don't go around, you know, speaking guile. Don't go around, you know, being a talebearer. Because if you do, that just shows that you just don't care. You just don't care. Because the Bible says that, hey, somebody who loves is going to conceal a matter. You know, so evil speaking is something that we need to be careful. And I guess I'll throw another one in there because I got about a minute or so. Greed. Kids, greed is a horrific sin that people may not think is a big deal, but greed can get you killed. Don't believe me? Google Achan. A-C-H-A-N. I don't have time to speak of him. But his greed, his covetousness, caused his family, himself, to be put to death in a horrific way. But Satan was somebody that was greedy. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to take over his throne. Hey, how do I know if I'm being greedy? If you love money. There, I said it. Somebody just recently told us, Pastor, I don't know. I just love money. And you're a wicked person. You're a greedy person. The Bible tells us very clearly, the love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:4, labor not to be rich. Damn, Pena. If you ain't trying to be rich, something's wrong with you. That's what he tells people. Well, the Bible says, if I'm trying to be rich, something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with you, damn Pena. So besides alcohol, besides arrogance, you know, besides evil speaking, be careful, kids. Being greedy is not something small. Being greedy is something big in God's eyes. We shouldn't labor to be rich. And the Bible says, he that loveth silver should not be satisfied with silver. You know what? Doing God's will is what's going to satisfy you, bring the most joyfulness to you. People that think it's the money, that's why I'm not happy. If I just have money, all my bills will be paid for, and I would just have this life that I can be proud of, and I would even help other people if I had so much money. But you know what? I don't know. I need to get some money. And then you start looking at ways to get it, and it'll take you down the wrong path. Something so small, like Achan, like just wanting a little bit more money, because he took a Babylonian garment and he took some money, just won a little bit more money for whatever reason. I'm sure he justified it in his eyes. It cost him his life and the life of his wife and the life of his children. And it cost also the nation to suffer as well. Over greed. So these little sins are big sins. We need to be careful not to be taking these lightly. And take heed lest we fall. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for all that you've done. We ask you to bless everyone here. Lord, you're such a great God to us. We have a lot. Father, help us to just be humble people, content people. And with all that, Father, we just ask you to bless everyone here tonight. Keep them safe. And also give us safe travels as we go back to Phoenix. And help us to win souls tomorrow in Mexico. And we ask the Lord to do all this for honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Turn in your hymnals to song number 114. Song number 114, The Great Physician. Just give everyone a second to get there. Song 114. We'll sing it out there on the first. The Great Physician now is near. The sympathizing Jesus, he speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Your many sins are all forgive. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Go on your way in peace to heaven and wear a crown with Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. All glory to the dying Lamb, I now believe in Jesus. I love the blessed Savior's name, I love the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. And when to that bright world above we rise to be with Jesus, we'll sing around the throne of love his name, the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus.
All right, good singing. You're all dismissed.